Mishnetchem, Daf Kav Zayin. Okay, we were on the bottom of Kav Vav Amud Bet at the Mishnah. We're going to try to move a little bit because tomorrow's Daf is a little bit longer, so we're going to try to get onto Kav Chet Amud Aleph. Okay, Mishnah. Ma'aseh v'heviyu lo l'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai lit'om et ha'tavshil. There was a case where they brought Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai to taste from a dish. With Rabban Gamliel shnei kotavot v'dli shel ma'im. And to Rabban Gamliel they brought two dates and a bucket of water. V'amru, and they said, he'alum l'sukah, let's take it up to the sukkah. Okay, so you see that even for those types of foods, this is what they were machmir for. They said, let's take it up to the sukkah. We're going to see what exactly a person is required to eat up in the sukkah and what he's allowed to eat outside the sukkah, which we discussed a little bit yesterday. Ukshanatnulo the Rabbi Tzadok, when they gave the Rabbi Tzadok, ochel pachon mikabetza, a food less than a kabetza, natlu netalo b'mapa, he would take it with a cloth, tablecloth, v'achaloh chutz ha'sukah, and he would eat it outside the sukkah, v'lo birech acharav, and he wouldn't make the bracha achrona, bracha mazon, on that food. This is a machloket in Masechet Berachot. I think it's a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And so over there, he's going like Shitat Rabbi Yehuda, if I'm not mistaken. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that anything less than a kabitza, you would not make Berkat Hamazon on. Whereas, and that's not how we hold halakha. Halakha, we say midirabbanan, if someone even has a kazayit, we would say Berkat Hamazon. So that's his Shita. Okay, Gemara, ma'asel istor. The Gemara says, what, you're bringing a case to contradict your original opinion. We said in the beginning of the Mishnah that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabban Gamliel, they would take up even water and even this, dates up to the sukkah. Now he's saying that he would eat it outside. He would eat bread up until the kabeitza outside the sukkah. So what? The Mishnah is bringing a case to contradict itself. So the Gemara answers, Chasuri mechsera v'achi ketani. There's something missing and this is how you should teach it. If someone comes to be strict on themselves, machmir, he can be strict and there's no ga'ava involved. He does not have to worry for anything to be ga'ava. There was also an incident. They gave to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to taste the tafshil. They gave Rabban Gamliel this two dates and water, amru, elum the sukkah, and they wanted to be strict, so they said, let's take it up to the sukkah. But min ha-din, that is not required to be eaten in the sukkah. Anything other than a kabeitza of mezonot and a kabeitza of bread is not required to eat in the sukkah. Ukshanatnu le Rabbi Tzadok, ochel pachon mekabeitza, when they gave Rabbi Tzadok food less than a kabeitza, netalo b'mapa, v'achalo chutz le-sukkah, v'lo birech acharav. So what is that saying? He would take it outside the sukkah, and he would eat it, and he would not make birkat hamazon after it. So what is that saying? Ha-kebitza, if it was a kebitza, by a sukkah, then it would be required to be sitting in a sukkah. So lema tevet tiuvta Rav Yosef Abaye. Let that be a contradiction towards Rav Yosef and Abaye. What were the opinions of Rav Yosef and Abaye? If you go back to Kavav Amud Aleph, in the bottom of Kavav Amud Aleph, we said, kami achilat arai. How much is the temporary eating that's required? We had two opinions. We said, Rav Yosef said, tarte otlat be'e, two or three, two or three times of eating egg-sized bites. Whereas, Rav Yosef said, the amount of time it takes for, bachur ni yeshiva, right before he goes into shiur, to quickly eat something and run in. He fills his mouth up and he runs in. So these are two opinions. So, it seems like, from what the Gemara is saying over here, that a kabetza would be required to eat in a sukkah. Whereas they were saying that's a measurement more than that, you can eat even outside a sukkah. That's considered achilat arai, two or three beitzim, or stuffing his face before he runs into shiur. Kabetza is not, it seems like from what the Gemara is saying, kabetza is not a lot. Nowadays, with all the shiurim, we've made it, kazayit is much bigger than what the actual zayit is today, but that's what it sounds like. So there's a contradiction in Rabbi Yosef and Abaye. The Gemara answers, dilma pachod mi kabetza, netilahu bracha lo ba'ein. Maybe if someone's having less than a kabeitza of bread, then he doesn't need to do netilat yadayim or birkat hamazon. Ha kabeitza. So what do we infer from that? That if he has a kabeitza, by netilahu bracha, they'd be required to have netilat yadayim and birkat hamazon if he had a kabeitza. But until he has the shiur that Rav Yosef or Abaye, told us, he would not be required to sin in a sukkah. Finally, once you reach Rav Yosef and Abaye, that measurement will be required to sin in the sukkah. So it's not an inference of less than a kabeitza is outside the sukkah, or kabeitza is in the sukkah. No. He's saying less than a kabeitza, no netilah yadayim b'kar mazon. Kabeitza, you have to do netilah yadayim b'kar mazon. Lahalacha, what's halacha? If someone's eating even less than a kazai, even less than a kabeitza of bread, we said you have to say b'kar mazon. Now what about netilah yadayim? Netilah yadayim, a person only makes a bracha of netilah yadayim if he's having a kabeitza of bread. If you're going to have only less than a kabita, only a kazayit of bread, you would wash without a beracha. Yeah, that's halacha
l'maaseh.
Exactly.
Not everybody eats so much bread.
Exactly, and the minhag is just to take a little piece of the taste. It's like mitzvah. No, it's not good. Makes the bracha mitzvah idayim bracha levatala. Makes the bracha mazon bracha levatala. Yeah, you have to be careful. You have to make sure to keep the shiurim. Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, 14 meals a person is supposed to have in the sukkah, one during the day, one during the night. He learns it out that every single day we generally have 2 meals a day. So the same thing we do throughout the week, we're supposed to do during sukkot. 2 meals a day during sukkot is 14 meals. The chachamim say, "Ain ha'davar kitzva." There's no, exact measurement for how many seudot you're supposed to have. Chutz min ha'day yom tov rishon shel chag bilvad, except for the first night of yom tov. The first night of yom tov, a person is chayav to eat in the sukkah. Other than all the other days and nights during sukkot, that chachamim say you're not chayav. Vod amar Rabbi Eliezer, mi shelo achal le'le yom tov rishon. If someone did not eat the first night of sukkah in the sukkah, yashlim le'le yom tov acharon shel chag, he should make it up on the last night of Sukkot, which is Shemini Atzeret. You should make it up that night. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Chachamim Amrim, Ein Davar Tashlumin. Chachamim say, no, you cannot make up missing the first night of eating in Sukkah. V'alze ne'emar. This is what the pasuk says. Me'uvad lo yuchal litkon, v'chisaron lo yuchal limanot. That something crooked, you're not going to be able to fix. You're not going to be able to. It actually brings this Gemara in Masechet Berachot of Kavav Amud Aleph, when it talks about over there. With regards to if someone, it's actually interesting because it's talking about tashlumin, so it's a good connection, I didn't realize. But anytime it talks about tashlumin, let's say a person forgets to pray tefillah, they forget to pray mincha. Comes nighttime, he remembers, oh, I forgot to pray. So is he allowed to pray, make up for his mincha? So the halakha is yes. The Gemara says you can pray arvit, and then right afterwards you pray a second amidah, the second amidah will make up for your missed mincha. But when is that the case? Only if a person prayed a missed his tefillah by accident or by onus. What happens if a person on purpose says, I don't want to pray? I'm not going to pray. The Gemara says, Me'uvad lo yuchal litkon. It brings his pasuk and it says, if someone does something crooked, he can't fix it. No tashlumin. Same thing here. If someone misses the first night of Yom Tov of eating in the Sukkah, there's no fixing. That's what the Chachamim say.
Mincha,
he said, I'm not going to pray. It hit Sedek Kochavim, lost his tefillah.
Then he chazar b'tshuva b'mincha l'arvit.
They should have prayed mincha.
Lo yachol, ain lo kvar zman, az oseh zeh
b'arvit. If it's in between mincha and arvit, yes, time. Anything before tzedek kochavim, you should pray.
On arvit, he decided that he wants to lasot tashlumim al mincha. He can yachol lasot.
No, hit tzedek kochavim, he was doing it on purpose. Even though after tzedek kochavim, he regrets it, he lost it.
Even if it
until that point, he was by Mezid. Afterwards, he changed it. Huh? So here, it doesn't differentiate between Mezid and Shogeg. Over here, it's not differentiating, but it was an interesting connection how both of them are talking about Tashlumin. It brings the same Pasuk.
They say that about a person who does not finish Shema Yisrael with the Tzibur, that also Mubadot.com, it doesn't get them that, right? Person does not say Shema Yisrael with everybody else, with the Chazan, with Mashlim, the
Oh yeah, I didn't see that. Okay, thank you. Big chidush. Okay, Gemara says, "Ma inta amad Rabbi Eliezer." What's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says, "Teshvu ke inta duru." The pasuk says you should sit just like you live. Ma dira achat bayom achat balayla. Just like when you're living in your house, in the times of the Gemara, they would have one meal in the day, one meal at night. Right? So too, af pasukah achat bayom achat balayla. So too, in the sukkah, you should have one meal during the day, and one at night. I would say nowadays, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we should probably have 21 meals in the sukkah. Because we had three meals a day.
2 meals a day, that's a recommendation. That's
the exactly. According to the health, Rabbi Ben Chaim always tells this. I remember reading in Chacham Ben Sion, his Sefer Musar, he writes, who came up with this that we're supposed to eat 3 meals a day? We all became sensitive and we need food and like this. But who said? In fact, eating less will probably give us longer life and more health. So what do the Chachamim say about that Teshuk in Taduru? So the Gemara says, Kedira, like Dira. Ma Dira, Ibai Achil, Ibai Lo Achil. Just like living, if you want to live in your house, you can. If you want to eat, you can eat. If you don't want to eat, you don't have to eat. Avsuka Nami, so too in a Sukkah, Ibai Achil, Ibai Lo Achil. If you want to eat, you can eat. If not, you don't have to eat. So if that's the case, Even the first night of Yom Tov, say that it's optional. If he wants to eat, he can eat. If not, no. Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, Ne'emar kan 15, Ne'emar 15 b'chag ha-matzot. This is Gzera Shava. This is Gzera Shava that's brought many times in Shas. So it's brought down 15th during Sukkot and 15th on Chag ha-matzot, on Pesach. Malahalan Laila Rishon Chova Mikan Ve'elach Reshut. Just like during Pesach, the first night is an obligation. And Chutz La'aretz probably also the second night is an obligation. The first and second nights are obligation. So, Nechon, but it's still an obligation. The rest of the nights are Reshut. Afkan, so too with Sukkot. Laila Rishon Chova Mikan Ve'elach Reshut. The first night is an obligation. The rest of the nights would be Reshut, optional. V'hata minalan, how do we know during Matzot, Chag HaPesach, that the first night is obligation? Amar Kra, be'erev tochlu Matzot, akatub k'va'o chova. It says in the Pasuk clearly, at night you should eat Matzot, so it made it an obligation. V'od amar Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Eliezer said even further, with Tashlumin. V'ha amar Rabbi Eliezer, 14 sudot chayav adam le'echol besukah, achat bayom, achat balayla. I thought Rabbi Eliezer said that a person is obligated to eat 14 meals, one during the day, one during the night. So how can he say, look at Rashi, Rashi explains this. V'kivan de b'yom acharon lo besukah yativ, since on the last day of sukkah, he's not sitting in the sukkah. V'im yeshev ba l'shem mitzvah over al bal tosif. If you sit on the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, you're adding on to the mitzvot, you're making sukkot 8 days instead of seven. This my hashlamah de sukkah ika hacha. What kind of, you know, tashlumin is he possibly adding or completing? He missed the first day, so he makes the eighth day. You're doing bal tosif, you're adding on to the mitzvot. So the Gemara says, Amar Bira. Bira was the name of a chacham, Rashi tells us. Amar Rabbi Ami, chazar bo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was chozer bo. He returned back onto his answer. At first he held, just like this tashlumin for korbanot, there's also tashlumin for this. Then he was chozer bo, and he changed his opinion. Look if Rashi explains this very clearly. He changed his opinion, saying instead of saying you have to have 14 meals, you don't have to have 14 meals. You can eat as much as you want, but he still holds his deen of kasavar yeshla tashlumin. He holds the deen of tashlumin that you can make it up. So meaning he doesn't require to eat all 7 days, two meals a day. That's what the Gemara is telling us. So the Gemara says mashlim b'mai. Rashi says mitane. It could be that there's a lot of back and forth on this Rashi. What does it mean? There's no chiyuv during Chol HaMoed to eat bread. It's a mitzvah. It's a good question. Are you allowed to fast during Chol HaMoed? But the question is if Rashi is Rashi even mentions to fast on the first night of Yom Tov. So it seems like Rabbi Eliezer now is chozerbo to the other extreme, saying you don't have to eat at all on the first night. Not like the Chachamim would say first night is obligation. He says first night, lo tzarich le'echol b'chlal. You don't have to eat at all. Itanot, look, he says, the opposite. You can fast, but every night except for the first night. Meaning the first night is a chiyuv, sorry. The rest of the nights, he can fast. That's what he's saying. Yeah, everyone agrees, Everyone agrees that there's a gzera shava, l'chol moshe m'sinai. We teach with Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaSukkot, that a person is obligated to eat on the first night. That is the machlok. So now the Gemara asks.
So I don't get it. So he said that in Shmini Atzeret the tashlumim or not tashlumim, Rabbi Eliezer.
He says it could be tashlumim, but he was chozer on his original opinion. That you need to have 14 meals in the sukkah, one day, one night. Okay. Now it says mashlim b'mai, right? So again, everyone holds. Now everyone's on agreement that a person is chayav to eat the first night of Sukkot. The question is, do you have to eat the rest of the night? Do you not? Is there tashlumin? That's the machlokin now. Is there tashlumin on the last day? So now the Gemara says mashlim b'mai. What do you complete it with? If you want to make up the last day, what do you do it with? If you forgot, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to eat on the first night, can you make it up? And what do you do it with? Maybe we could say you make it up with bread. Seuda di yome ka'achil. He's eating the seuda of the day. Meaning, I think Rashi explains that how do you differentiate between this meal and your regular seuda of Chag Shmini Atzeret? You have to eat a meal on Shmini Atzeret. So now, what's the difference between this meal? How are you differentiating? What's the distinction to show that you're heker for this one rather than it being for the tashlumin?
We're not suggesting two seudot.
Right, we're not going to mechayev you. That's not healthy. To mechayev you to have two seudot. So the Gemara says, "Ela ma yashlim, yashlim b'minei targima." You should have some mezonot. You bring some desserts, some nice, fruits and things along those lines, and you're mashlim with that. Tanei la mehachi, the Braita also says.
More lasot it basuka or lo basuka, b'shmini atzeret.
No, lo yichol yachol bat sukkah. He can't eat in the sukkah because now he's doing well tosif. We said he adds something different. This is Rabbi Elazar Shita to show that, hey, I'm commemorating that I missed the first night. So now the Gemara says im hishlim. That's what it seems like. That's from Rashi. It explained that you're not allowed to eat on Shmini Atzeret in the sukkah because it's baltosif. So he has to be outside the sukkah. Huh? Yeah, chutzaretz we do.
It's not so simple.
Yeah, it's a huge back and forth.
It's rained, so this way you're
patur for a day. Yeah. Tanem yachi, if a person completed it with mezonot or some type of sweets, he is yotze. Shal apotropos shel agripas hamelech et Rabbi Eliezer. So the apotropos, he's like the overseer of the king of Agrippa's Amelech. He asked Rabbi Eliezer a question. Kugon ani sheini ragil leechol ela seudah achat v'yom. I am only used to eating one meal during the day. And what's the deen with me? Ma'u she'ochal b'seudah achat v'pater. Is it enough for me to have one seudah in the sukkah and I'll be exempt?
I guess the teshvuki and the duru, that's what I normally do, so therefore I'm yotze.
Right. The question, so what's the question here? I thought Rabbi Eliezer was chozerbo. Rabbi Eliezer said, you don't have to eat 14 meals in the sukkah anymore. So what is he asking? Rabbi Eliezer agrees with you, you only have to have one meal. It's the first night of sukkah. So Ritva explains that he's going back on the previous case before Rabbi Eliezer was chozerbo. Meaning when Rabbi Eliezer was in an original shita of 14 seudot, according to that, what would you say about this? That's what the Ritva explains. So the Gemara says, Amar lo v'chol yom v'yom atam mamshich kama parparaot nechvod atzmecha. Every day you have a lot of these side dishes for yourself. And he says, Yata yam mamshich parperet achad lechvod konecha. You can't have one side dish, one dessert for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, for your Creator. It says ve'od shalu. They asked even more. Kigon ani sheyesh li shtei nashim. Someone said I had two wives. Achad v'itveria v'achad v'itzipori. One in Tveria, one in Tzipori. Two different locations. V'yesh li shtei sukkot. I have two sukkot. Achad v'tverei v'achad v'tzipori. One in each one's home. Ma'u she'etze mi'sukkah le'sukkah v'epater. Can I go from one sukkah to the other sukkah? I'll eat in this one today and sleep in this one. Then tomorrow morning I'll go to the next one, eat there and sleep there. Then I'll come back. Can I do that? Amar lo lo. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Shani omer. Kol yotze mi'sukkah le'sukkah b'tel mitzvatah shel rishona. Anyone who leaves his sukkah to go to another sukkah, he is actually mevatel his initial mitzvah. Why? Rashi explains, and we're going to see this, the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, is that you have to make a sukkah l'shivat yamim. Retroactively, by the fact that you're going on the second day or the third day to your other wife's sukkah, you're showing that the first day wasn't a sukkah for 7 days, it's only for 5 days. And now that's not kosher. And this one's also not kosher because you didn't sit in that one the first day. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, look here, mitzvah. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah. That's what he said.
The person has two houses. Is he allowed to go from one to another? Like the people who have a second house in Florida, in Deal or elsewhere?
Before the holiday?
The duru.
So the question is, you're asking according to Shita of Rabbi Eliezer or according to Halakha?
Or he has two wives. So normally during the day he's here. And then in the
middle of the day, we should have one wife. It's difficult enough with... one way. I don't know how he had two wives, but okay, it's an interesting case. It doesn't seem like halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Usually Rabbi Eliezer versus the Chachamim would say halacha.
This is like he's living in two houses.
I don't think the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer that a person has to sit in the same exact sukkah for 7 days. Like a lot of times you go to a relative's house on the night of sukkah and you sit in their sukkah, But we're going to see what exactly it has to be. So Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. You're not allowed to go from one sukkah to another. You're not allowed to make a sukkah during Chol HaMoed. Let's say someone didn't sit on the first day of Yom Tov in a sukkah. You can't build a sukkah now during the rest of Chol HaMoed according to Rabbi Eliezer because you need a sukkah for 7 days. Chachamim say you can go from one sukkah to sukkah, and ve'osin sukkah b'chol Shel Moed. You're allowed to go from make a sukkah during Chol HaMoed. This is, I would assume, this is the halacha. They both agree, though, that if it broke during Sukkot, they're allowed to rebuild it. You can fix it up. Okay, so now you might ask me, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not a 7-day Sukkah now. You're making a different Sukkah. The answer is no, it's the same Sukkah. You're rebuilding that same Sukkah back up. That's why it's still the same sukkah. My time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning? Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "Chag haSukkot ta'aseh lecha shivat yamim." Make for yourself a sukkah 7 days. Ase sukkah, hareuya l'shiva. You should make a sukkah that's fit for 7 days. Birabanan. And what do the Chachamim say about that? The Pasuk, Achika Amar, Rachmana. This is what the Torah says. Ase sukkah v'chag, make a sukkah. That's what the Pasuk means. Make a sukkah during chag, meaning he gives you opportunity not only to move from one sukkah to the next, but also if you need to build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed, let's say you were on a trip and you had no sukkah. Now you got back and you need to build a sukkah right now on the third day. He says you can build a sukkah even during that time. Okay. They agree that you can rebuild it if it breaks. Pshita, the Gemara says, obviously what, you're not going to sit in the sukkah? You know, it's still, and obviously it's still the same sukkah as before. So it's still a sukkah shiva. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's still, what's the problem?
Is there maybe it means to brand a sukkah, you end up not having a sukkah?
No, Rashi doesn't understand like that. So Rashi doesn't understand. Rashi understands, dehas sukkah shiva'i. It's a sukkah for 7 days. It's the same exact sukkah as before. We're rebuilding it up. That's how Rashi explains it. So the Gemara says, ma'u detema hai achritihi ve'ina l'shiva. Exactly. I would have thought, like Yil Chacham is saying, that it was another sukkah he's rebuilding, and not the same one, and that's why we may thought that it's problematic. Kamash malan, that no, it's the same exact sukkah, and that's why everyone agrees it's fine.
The question is, if it collapses.
If it collapses, you want to build a new one, a different one.
And you don't have, the walls are problematic, and you have to put new ones.
Exactly. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be machmir, but according to Chachamim, it would be fine. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Just like you cannot fulfill your mitzvah, and we're going to see this later on in the next parak and the following parakim, that a person has to use his own lulav for the first day of chag. So too, dichtiv, as the pasuk says, ul kachtem lachem b'yom arishon priyat hadar kapot temarim. It says you should take for yourself. The Gemara says mishel lachem, that is part of your property. And so too, a person is not fulfilling his obligation on the first night of Sukkot, sitting in his friend's sukkah. Make for yourself a sukkah 7 days. Mishal lecha, has to be of your own. This is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Okay. Even though a person needs to use his own lulav on the first day of Yom Tov, that's halakha l'maaseh, you can't borrow lulav for the first day. But you can fulfill your obligation of sitting in a friend's sukkah on the first night, as we all do. We all go to our relative's house on the first night. All of the people of the Jewish people should sit in the sukkah, teaching us that all of the Jewish people are fit to sit in one sukkah. Imagine. Huh? Oh, okay, good. So he's going to ask now. But do you see from that a very beautiful dirasha that imagine a sukkah with all of Am Yisrael in one sukkah. That's what the world was created for. We're all supposed to come and sit in one sukkah, a big sukkah.
Sukkah dorasha leviathan.
Exactly. Now this is machlokot. Is this one kosher? I'm not going to sit in yours. I'm not going to sit in yours. This is not what Hashem wanted from us. Okay, now the Gemara asks this, Rabbanan, hai lecha mai darshibe, what do they use the word lecha for? To exclude a stolen sukkah. You're not allowed to sit in a stolen sukkah. If you go to your friend's house and you steal his properties and you bring it to your own house and you make it a sukkah, you're not yotze on the first day of Sukkot. That's what he's saying. Aval sheula, but if you want to borrow a friend's sukkah, let's say you're walking on the street, you go to your friend, hey, can I use your sukkah? He's like, sure. You go sit inside, you eat a meal, you fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara says, Ketiv kol ha'ezrach. It says in the pasuk, anyone can do it. All Jews are all, you know, kol Yisrael aravim zelazer. We're all responsible for one another, so you would be allowed to borrow your friend's sukkah, but not steal.
So, is there any mitzvah that you would be yotzei if you steal?
And
they have to come and tell you
to
steal.
So this is a famous question: if you steal,
if you
we're going to see that when we get to the third parak, because over there we're going to see the whole sugya. If someone steals an artifact, if fulfills a mitzvah with it, is he yotzei dechova with lulav, with tefillin, with tzitzit? There's many different questions that regard, but I think we should wait till we get there to discuss those. Okay. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Eliezer, hai kol ha'ezrach my avidle. What does Rabbi Eliezer use with the words kol ha'ezrach? So he says, mi ba'ilei leger shenitgayer bentayim vekatan shenitgadel bentayim. He uses it for a ger, convert, that converts during Sukkot, and a child during Chol HaMoed, and a child that becomes bar mitzvah during Chol HaMoed. So in both those examples, he allows him to build the sukkah, let's say. Even though in general, Rabbi Eliezer is of the shita, that you need a 7-day sukkah, for that child or for that ger, there would be room for leniency. Because of the pasuk. But Rabbanan, and where did the Rabbanan learn that out from? Kivan Shamru Osin Sukha Bechaloshan Moed, Loit Sarich Kra. The Rabbanan Bichlal don't hold of that opinion like Rabbi Eliezer. They say you can build a Sukha during Chol HaMoed. So they don't need a Pasuk to prove that a Katan can build a Sukha for himself during Chol HaMoed. Anyone can build a Sukha during Chol HaMoed. Very good. Tanu Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Elai.
So you're only talking about the katan that became big, or a person who converted, but the person was anus for any other reason. The person came from jail.
Same, yeah, it would be the same machloket, I would assume.
So any in a situation of onus.
That's what it seems like. In a situation where you weren't able to mekayim the mitzvah. Tanu Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Elai shalach lekubil pnei Rabbi Eliezer rabbo belod beregel. Rabbi Elai went to see his rabbi. We know there's a mitzvah to go greet your rabbi on the regel. He went to go greet his rabbi Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lo Eli, he said, Rabbi Eliezer said to him when he got there, Eli, enecha meshubatei haregel, you're not one of the, you know, you're not enjoying properly the holiday. Why? Shaya Rabbi Eliezer omer, meshabeach ani et atzlanim, she'en yotzin mibatehen beregel. He says, I praise the lazy people, the people who don't leave their sukkah during the regel, because so that they can enjoy the holiday. They don't have to walk a big torah to get to the rabbi. He said, dechtiv esammachta, ata ubeitecha. You should be happy, and your house should be happy, and everyone. So that's why his opinion was, you shouldn't leave your home to go somewhere else during the regel. And the Gemara says, ini, is that the case? V'hama Rabbi Yitzchak. But Rabbi Yitzchak said, minayin shechayev adam lakbil v'nei rabo beregel. How do we know that someone is obligated to go greet his rabbi during the holidays? So neymar, madua at holechet alav hayom, lo chodesh o lo shabbat. Right, this is a pasuk talking about Shunamit, if I'm not mistaken. Nachon. So she told her she told her husband, "I want to go to Elisha, if I remember correctly." And so he said to him, "Why are you going today? It's not Shabbat. It's not Rosh Chodesh. So what do you infer from that? You imply from that on Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh you should go.
Shabbat, not Dafka Shabbat. Rabbi,
Shabbat, Chol HaMoed, Yom Tov. Shabbat and Yom Tov are the same.
But not every Shabbat. You don't have to ask your rabbi every Shabbat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. I guess it uses Shabbat, but Shabbaton is the same lashon as Yom Tov. So that's what it's saying. Madua alechet alav hayom, lo chodesh lo Shabbat. Miklal, that's coming to tell us that bechodesh v'Shabbat mechayev inish lakbulei apei rabbi, that on Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, person is obligated to go greet his rabbi. So how do you explain what Rabbi Eliezer is saying? Why would Rabbi Eliezer say, I don't want you to leave your house and go visit your rabbi? But he did a mitzvah. Lakasha hada azil v'atei biyomei, hada azil v'atei biyomei. If a person goes and he's able to come back home on the same day, then he should go and visit his rabbi. Why? Over there, you can still have simcha in the house. You can still be mekayem the mitzvah. Whereas if a person's going to go and he's only going to get back the next day, his family misses him. He's not going to be able to spend time with his family. So over there, we don't say you should go. So if you can go and you can visit your rabbi and you can come back home, which I think is pretty easy for everyone here, then a person should do that.
אפילו שהיא לא חייבת בה, שהיא הייתה מבקרת את רבה. אישה מחויבת לבקר את רבה?
Listen, I wouldn't say mechuyav. Nobody is necessarily like, you can't obligate someone, oh, he has to leave his family now in the middle of a seudah to go greet his rabbi. But yeah, it's a mitzvah for everybody to go greet the rabbi. Yeah, it's not a mitzvah. Let's say she's one garman. Everybody, it's a good mitzvah to do. I try to do it myself. I try during the chagim if I can to come and see Rabbi Ben Chaim to greet him. Huh? Yeah, everyone goes during Sukkot. Yeah, exactly. But all the regalim, not only Sukkot. Okay, we're almost there. Tanu Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer sheshavat beGalil haEdion. There was a case of Rabbi Eliezer who was shovet. He sat and he instituted Shabbat. In Galil haEdion, in the upper Galil, besukato shel Yochanan berebi Eli, in the sukkah of Yochanan, the son of Eli, the son of Rabbi Eli, beKisri, in Kisri. Va'amri la beKisrion, and some say it was in Kisrion. Ve'igya chama lesukkah, and the sun reached the sukkah. It became very hot. Amar lo, so Yochanan asked him, ma'u she'efrosh alea sadin. What's the din? Can I put a cover on top of the sukkah to cover from the sun? I don't want the sun to burn you. Can I put one of these blankets over the sukkah to give shade? Amar lo, ein lacha kol shevet v'shevet v'Yisrael, m'Yisrael shelo hemid mimenu shofet. He said to him, you don't have any tribe that didn't stand a judge. They didn't hold a judge in them. He asked him, can I put a cover on the sukkah? He said, you know, all the tribes had judges. Chazaku baruch. So Rashi tells us he was trying to change the subject. He didn't want to answer him. He wanted to avoid the answer. Interesting. So
he
giyach chama. Okay, so now what does the Gemara say? He giyach chama lechatzi sukkah. The son got to the half part of the sukkah where Rabbi Eliezer was sitting. Amar lo ma'u she'efros aleh sadin. Can I put this blanket? Can I put this sheet on top of it? Amar lo ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet mi'israel shelo yatzu mimenu nevi'im. He says you don't have any tribes that didn't have prophets come out of them. What's the what's the connection? That's what it sounds like. I don't know. I never checked it, but it sounds like that's you know, what does that have to do with the question though? So again, he's trying to avoid the question. So he says, so he gives example. Shevet Yehuda u'Binyamin, the tribe of Yehuda Binyamin, hemidu melachim al pi nevi'im. Those two tribes, they established not nevi'im, but rather kings by the prophets. They established kings by the prophets. We know that was Shaul, David, who were appointed by Shemuel and Navi. That's what the Gemara is talking about. Okay? Higia chama lamargilotav shel Rabbi Eliezer. The sun got towards the feet, the legs and the feet of Rabbi Eliezer. It was really hot. He said, Natal Yochanan sadin upires aliyah. So Yochanan took a sheet and he put it on top of the sukkah on that spot. So he shil Rabbi Eliezer talitol acharav. He took his stuff, he put it on his back. Yatsa, and he went out of the sukkah. Lo mipnei shehifligu bedvarim. Not because he was trying to avoid answering the question. Ela mipnei shelo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabo la'olam. Rabbi Eliezer would never say anything he never heard from his rabbi's mouth. If his rabbi didn't teach him something, he wouldn't teach. So he asked him a question. Is my rabbi didn't teach me this? He didn't want to answer. He didn't want to give an answer.
Didn't that teach us that there are five parts of the Shulchan Aruch? One of it is for you to come up with things on your own.
Nachon, there's a lot of questions on this Gemara we can come up with. Why didn't he say, I don't know?
Okay.
He could have just answered, I don't know.
He probably knew, but he didn't.
But he walked out. Oh, you're saying he knew and he didn't get his Gemara. Then if he knew, he's obligated to say. He should say if he knew.
But he walked out of the Sukkah because he didn't
answer
the question.
So again, that's another question. Why is he walking out of the Sukkah? You know? So that's what Rashi says. He didn't, you know, he didn't not answer him because he was trying to avoid teaching him Torah. Because the person, Rashi says, "Shelo lamdo Torah nitkaven ela shelo amar davar mipir abo shelo shama mipir abo." Meaning, he wasn't like avoiding trying to teach him Torah. Someone that can teach Torah, he should teach Torah. But he didn't want to teach something he never heard from his rabbi. So there's a lot of questions. If anyone can come up with an answer as to why he didn't just say, "I don't know," I would love to hear an answer. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Hechi avid hachi." How could Rabbi Eliezer do that? V'ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer en yotzin misukah l'sukah. Rabbi Eliezer says you can't go from one sukkah to another sukkah. How can he go stay in Yochanan sukkah? So the Gemara says, "Regel acher havai." It was a different holiday. It wasn't Sukkot. They were sitting outside during Pesach. Nice weather outside. They kept the sukkah up. They were sitting outside in the weather with no cover. Nice air breeze. So what's the problem then? V'hamar Rabbi Eliezer mishabeach ani et atzlanin she'en yotzin mebatehen beregel. But I thought Rabbi Eliezer says he praises the lazy people who don't leave their house during the holiday. How can he go during Pesach to another person's home? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says Shabbat havai. It was Shabbat. It was Shabbat, so he went to his friend's house to sit in the tent so he can get some air. It says v'tiv shud levi didei, and let's learn it out from Rabbi Eliezer himself. How do we know? Ditnan, as the Mishnah says in Masachet Shabbat. Kaka chalon.
So wasn't that conversation of kosher sukkah?
So we're going to see what was the actual issue. Why couldn't he put a sadin on top of the on top of this sukkah? It was Shabbat. What was the problem? So we're going to see. So it says here, pekaka chalon. If you have a board of the window that you take and you shutter the window with. So now it depends if you're allowed to do that on Shabbat or not. Now what does it depend on? Rabbi Eliezer Omer bezman shekashur v'taloi pokakin bo. When it is tied and it's hanging down and it's not just laying on the ground, then you're allowed to close it because it's considered attached. Whereas vim lav, if it's not the case, in pokakin bo, you're not allowed to close it. V'chachamim omrim, the chachamim say benkach u'benkach pokakin. Whether it's attached and it's tied down or it's not attached, chachamim say you're allowed to close up the shutter. So now, what do you see from the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? Over here we see Rabbi Eliezer Shita. If you look at Rashi, v'tifshot lemididei, shelo tifros aleha sadin de'asur lohosif al o'al arai. Rabbi Eliezer Shita, why is it asur for him to put the cover on top of the sukkah? Because you're adding on to a temporary ohel, to a temporary tent. You're not allowed to add to an ohel. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. All right, we hold, huh? On Shabbat. We all know that there's a lot of questions with regards to ohel that's very important on Shabbat. Right, a person is not allowed to make a tent on Shabbat. You're not allowed to make an oil. There's a lot of corona questions. Someone's tent outside broke down. Can they put it back up? There's a lot of questions. There's also questions with regards to even strollers. You know, stroller, if you open the stroller's cover, now you're making a tent. So they say, the halakha, you have to leave the stroller a little bit open the cover. Just open a tefach, and now you're allowed to mosif on the tefach. But if it's completely closed, then it could be problematic. Huh?
Then you can add a rain cover and all.
Yeah, then you can...
question about some hats.
Yeah, some people have questions. That's right. We're not machmir. So that was the question. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer is going...
If you open the cover of the stroller in the house, and then you go out, it's in by
it. No, it's not a matter of inside or outside. Ohel is a problem anywhere. Yeah. Ohel is in the house also. You can't make an ohel in the house. It has to be open a tefach, the stroller, the cover, and before Shabbat. So that on Shabbat, you can open it more. If it's not open a tefach, then what you're doing is you're making a temporary ohel.
You open it beyond kol, you shachat the tefach.
That's fine.
And you go out.
That's fine.
In by
it. As long as it's an eruv. For what?
It's attached. There
isn't
an opinion if it's attached.
Yeah, look, yeah, if it's attached, then again, it's only in Olah Rai, so it's only the Rabbanan. So it's definitely, you know, for a child, if it's raining and stuff like that, there's probably room for leniency.
So if like this, so you leave your umbrella open in the house, and go out to sit.
No, but there we say, there's a gzera not to go in the house. Okay, so why is he, hold on, so now the question is, why is he differentiating between the case of the pekak and the ohel, right? With the ohel, he said his shita was not to put the sadin on, or at least he had doubt, he didn't answer. It sounds like Rabbi Eliezer didn't know. Okay, good. So with regards to the sadin, we said that, you know, we don't know if you should put it over. Why? He was choshesh. Maybe there's a problem of adding on to the ohel. But with regards to the pekak, what do we say? That you can pick it up and you can close it. You can close off an ohel. You can actually make an ohel. So why is that different than the case of the sadin? So the Gemara answers, hatam hu de mevatel. Over there, in the case of the pekak, he is mevatelit. Aval hacha de lo mevatel. But over here, with the case of the sadin, nobody leaves their sheet in the sukkah like that. So over here, that you're not leaving it, meaning if you're going to mevatele, look, Rashi explains, the first Rashi. Hata mevatele, lehai pekak legabi chalon. He's mevatele to the chalon, v'chashivle mikotel atzmo. It's as if it's part of the wall. Hilkach have mosif. Over there it's mosif. Aval, sadin, but a sheet, anan sa'ade, de lo mevatele. We see that a person does not leave it, legabi sukkah. He doesn't mevatele and leave it in the sukkah. He wants to bring the sheet back in. V'sofol litelo. And at the end he's going to bring it back. Hilkach lo pshita de Rabbi Eliezer, de lehevi mosif. Over there, it's not pashut to Rabbi Eliezer that it's considered mosif. So he doesn't know with regards to the case of the sadin, but with the case of the pekak, as long as it's tied, he said you can put it back. But if it's not tied, he's choshesh because of that reason. Meaning, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer say, oh, I know that if a pekak is not tied, let's say for example, then I know it's a problem. I can't put it back on. So why doesn't he say, sadin also, I can't put it on. So the Gemara answers, no, over there with the pekak, you're mevatelet, you leave it there. So you're not worried over there. Whereas with the case of the sadin, we're not sure if you're going to leave it there or not. You're probably going to come back and get it. So over there, we're choshesh, mishum mosif. But he doesn't know. He left it in a lo pshitale. It wasn't pashut Rabbi Eliezer what the answer was, because his Rebbe never taught him this. It's a very interesting Gemara, and I think we'll stop there for today.